Well, this morning we're going to look at a special topic. I was going to turn to the Sermon on the Mount, but not quite yet. We have some people in our fellowship who, especially some younger ones, even some of our youth, who would like to be baptized. We had planned to have a baptismal service last year, and then COVID hit. So we have not been able to do that yet. Now the restrictions are being lifted, and it's easier for us to go out and have a baptismal service. So we're going to plan to have that in just a couple of weeks away. And as I said earlier, I'll let you know, and we'll plan for that after I talk with the board. But I thought that I would take a Sunday to talk about what is baptism. We talk about it in the church. We think about it as part of our beliefs, but what is it? So I thought I would take this morning to talk about it. So this is going to be maybe a little heavy on the teaching side, and maybe not so heavy on like the inspiration side. I'll let God's Spirit move among you. And if you would like to be baptized, please talk to me. We want to have a big celebration of that. But I want to make sure that we're all aware of what baptism is. So and you can fill in some of the notes that you have here. I have a lot of scripture for us to look at today. Well, very simply, what is baptism? Baptism is a washing with water. The basic term, back in the ancient languages, means to dip in water. In the ancient world, it was a form of spiritual cleansing. Ceremonial washings of different types goes back long time into ancient Israel as a form of ritualistic washing and cleansing away of dirt, stain, and sin. Water came to represent the inner work that God wanted to do in people's hearts. We can turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 25. There we read these words. God is promising to Israel now in the future, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. So one day God is promising that he would cleanse the people, and he would do that by pouring clean water on them. By the time of Jesus, some Jews, such as those in the Qumran community, which is the ones who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, they were out past the Jordan River, out where John was baptizing. They had associated baptism with repentance. John the Baptist had gone out into that area of Qumran. He probably even knew the people who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. And he shared many beliefs with these Jews who lived out in the desert. John the Baptism, his baptism was a spiritual preparation for the coming of the Messiah. According to Luke chapter 3, John preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people came out from the cities and the villages and went out to where John was by the Jordan River. They would repent of their sins and be baptized in the waters of the Jordan River. Early Christians continued to baptize new believers. This continued in church practice throughout the ages, and has continued even now into virtually all Orthodox Christian churches today practice some form of baptism. And today we call it a sacrament. In the Church of the Nazarene, we have two sacraments that we practice, the Lord's Supper and baptism. It is one of the key concepts that churches share throughout church history. Nazarenes, we are open to different forms of baptism by submersion, which is probably the most common, but also pouring and sprinkling. A century ago, when our denomination was formed, there were different ideas. And so instead of fighting it out, they said, okay, let's just agree that you can use any form. And we see different examples of that also in Scripture. Baptism is also, second of all, a confirmation of our faith in Jesus. Baptism is accepting what Jesus has done on the cross for us. It is accepting the benefits of the atonement. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, we read this. But when they believed, Philip, this is the Samaritans, when the Samaritans believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. We are baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So when we are baptized, we become part of who Christ has intended for us to be. We join in Him in a special kind of relationship. We are baptized into this relationship with Jesus Christ. Third, baptism is a symbolic act of commitment. For it is for those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Every reference to water baptism in the New Testament is in the context of faith. Everyone who is baptized believes in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Jesus chose to be baptized by John in the Jordan River. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, we read this. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Now we may wonder, why did Jesus choose to be baptized? And John wondered that also. It says that John tried to stop Jesus. He said, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented and said, okay, I will baptize you. Jesus chose to be baptized to identify with us and to give us a pattern for what we can do as His followers. In the earliest church, as recorded by Luke in the Gospel of Luke and in the Acts of the Apostles, the faith of the new believer is the requirement for baptism. And that baptism prepares that person to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Baptism, fourth, represents the salvation process. The goal of baptism is to help us understand more and more what Jesus has done for us. First of all, it is the symbol of the new covenant. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. In Him also you were circumcised, a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 2 also talked about the circumcision of the heart. Now, circumcision, that's a graphic way of talking about how something is cut away. The circumcision of the heart, and what Paul the Apostle talks about here in Colossians, is the removal of sin and taking away sin. Continuing in verse 12, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. In the old covenant of the Old Testament, the sign of the covenant was circumcision of male boys 8 days old. And that was one of the key symbols and representations of the people of God, of Israel. Well, when we come to the New Testament, we find that circumcision doesn't matter anymore. To be the people of God, we believe in faith. We have a new sign of being the people of God. It's no longer circumcision, but now it is baptism. Why? Not because it's any ritual. No, Israel made that mistake about circumcision. They thought if they could be circumcised, they were part of the covenant community. They had it made. They were God's people. And we read in the Old Testament and the New Testament that circumcision, no, they made a mistake about that. We can also make the same mistake about baptism, thinking just because we are baptized, then we are going to heaven. I'll talk about that in a moment. No. Why is baptism the sign of the new covenant? Because of what it represents. What it represents is a dying to the old life, putting ourselves on the cross with Christ, and rising to a new life with Him, of faith in Him. And we'll look at a scripture in Romans in a few moments that confirms that. So circumcision of the heart should be shown by baptism. That you have truly died to the old way of life and you want to live a new life in Jesus Christ. Another way of baptism represents our salvation is with the word justification. Now, I understand this is not Bible college or seminary class. So let me explain justification. Justification is the word we use when a person is basically saved, born again. You put your faith in Jesus Christ and you become a Christian. We call that justification. John's baptism was the one of repentance in Luke chapter 3. As I read before, just a few moments ago, that when John went out baptizing, he called people to repent of their sins. Justification is when we say no to sin and we repent, we turn away. Repentance means to make a turn away from living in sin to now living in faith in Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So when we believe, then we should be baptized, because it is a representation that we believe in Jesus Christ. Believing and being baptized always go together in the New Testament. Also, baptism represents sanctification. Now, we talk a lot about that in the Church of the Nazarene as part of our key doctrines. But sanctification is another one of those big theological words. And basically what it means is that God is transforming us by His Holy Spirit, and He's making us into His holy people. It begins when we are saved. Sanctification believes when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. And it continues as we give ourselves more and more into Christ, give ourselves more to His Lordship in our life. I'll talk about that some other point. Water baptism prepares for and represents the deeper and more profound baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what sanctification is about. It's about the baptism that the Holy Spirit does within us. Water baptism is only the outward sign of what God is doing deeper inside of us. John baptized with a baptism of repentance. Jesus' baptism was one of purification by the cleansing fire of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, this is what John the Baptist said. He said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but He who is coming after me," he's talking about Jesus, the Messiah, "is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And then we come to the book of Acts. Jesus is about to ascend now, and He's giving His disciples the last word to them. He says, "For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then we find the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and baptized and filled and did the inner working in the hearts of the 120 who were gathered in the upper room. In Acts chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, the Samaritans who believed in Jesus but had not yet received the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. That's interesting. They had been baptized, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And so the Samaritans, this is often called the Samaritan Pentecost. They also had a filling of the Holy Spirit, just like the Jews back on the day of Pentecost. Now we come to a really important passage, I think. One of the key passages about baptism, holiness, sanctification, and living for Jesus. Someday maybe I'll preach a series on that, but Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Okay, let's pause right there. So, when you go into the water, that represents dying to the old life. You have said no to sin as your master. You're no longer living to please yourself. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ has been raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And so coming out of the water represents this new life of sanctification, of where the old life is gone, and now we're living a new life. The new self, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Well, Paul goes on in this passage, for if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him, put on the cross, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For the one who has died... So baptism is more than just simply representing that I believe in Jesus. It is seeking God's deeper inner work in our life. Now, I realize that maybe when we're baptized as a younger child, we may not understand all of this theology. This is really deep stuff here that Paul is talking about. But as we grow in our faith, we come to understand just how deeply profound this choice that we've made is. Not a choice to go into the water. No, a choice to die to the old way of life and to live this new life in Jesus Christ. We can reflect back then as we get older on our baptism. We can reflect. Maybe you were baptized as a young child or as a teenager. I was baptized, I think, around age 12. And somewhere around then. And I can reflect now my entire life and relive that. Not that I have to be rebaptized, but that I can say, you know, that act that I did as a young man, I can relive now. And I can live out that decision every day to live for Christ and not for self. It should help us to live out our holiness and to give us assurance of our salvation and standing with God. And then, number five, baptism is also the way we become the part of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for you were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, for we were all given the one Spirit to drink. When we are baptized, that is the symbol of becoming part of the body of Christ. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 28. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. Okay? That's what Paul talks about, putting on the new self. We've been clothed with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's the good news. It doesn't matter what our background is, what our economic status is, the color of our skin, our nationality. When we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we are one. And that's what Paul says here. Baptism unites us together with all believers. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Well, that's just a very brief understanding of what baptism is. We could go into these scriptures and study them much more in depth. But let's talk for a moment about what baptism is not. Sometimes it's helpful to know what something is not in order to know what it is. Well, one thing that baptism is not, this may surprise you, it's not necessary to be baptized to get into heaven. No human act, no matter what it is, can save us. We are saved only by the grace of God and accepting His offer of salvation by believing in Jesus Christ. And that's the bottom line for our salvation. Baptism is only the symbolic act that we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. It is related to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's look at a passage that sometimes some people quote in this subject. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 through 22. And Peter is talking about, in that passage, about what is he talking about here? About Noah and the flood and a few things like that. But then he comes to this part right here. He's using all of those other things as a symbol of what he wants to talk about here. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, he's talking about Noah's family, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism, which now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body. So Peter is not talking about going into the water and getting a bath or that. He's not talking about that. But importantly, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So water baptism in itself, that won't do anything for you. But what it does is it points to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which will save us. Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels and authorities and powers in submission to Him. Being baptized, even as an infant or a child or as an adult, does not guarantee that we are going to heaven. And there's some people who think, and especially in a place like Guam that is predominantly Catholic, they think because they were baptized as an infant that they're going to heaven. Well, that's not the case. Even if we were baptized sometime, it's what matters is our faith in Jesus Christ. That's universal throughout the New Testament. If we were baptized as an infant, then we must personally still believe in Jesus Christ. We must come to a saving belief and understanding in Jesus Christ. There's no other way to heaven except through faith in Jesus Christ. And the scripture is clear. So baptism, that's not going to save us. That's not going to get us into heaven. Now that it will help us point the way. Also, baptism is not a requirement for church membership. We become a member of the body of Christ around the world, big C. But you don't have to be a member of the Church of the Nazarene. You don't have to be baptized to be a member of our church. We have in our manual what's called the Agreed Statement of Faith. Now, some of you may not know what this is, so I'm just going to go ahead and read it to you. These are the basic requirements to being a member of the Church of the Nazarene. Recognizing that the right and privilege of persons to church membership rests upon the fact of their being regenerate, being born again, we would require only such avowals of belief as are essential to Christian experience. We therefore deem belief in the following brief statements to be sufficient. We believe, number one, in one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number two, the Old and New Testament scriptures, given by plenary inspiration, contain all truth necessary to faith and Christian living. Number three, human beings are born with a fallen nature and are therefore inclined to evil, and that continually. Number four, the finally and impenitent, that means you don't repent, are hopelessly and eternally lost. Number five, the atonement through Jesus Christ is for the whole human race, and that whosoever repents and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is justified and regenerated and saved from the dominion of sin. Number six, that believers are to be sanctified wholly, subsequent to regeneration, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number seven, the Holy Spirit bears witness to the new birth and also to the entire sanctification of believers. And number eight, our Lord will return, the dead will be raised, and the final judgment will take place. There's nowhere in there stated that you have to be baptized to be a Nazarene. Now, we hope so. That's part of our liturgy and our practice. But, so, you do not have to be baptized to get to heaven, and you don't have to be baptized to be a member of this church. But, they're all connected. We just don't want you to have the wrong understanding about that. I want to move to a third topic, and that is, why be baptized in the first place? Well, number one, simply, it's commanded by Jesus. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." How? By baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How do we make disciples? By teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Baptism is a universal practice in the early church. On the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached his sermon and 3,000 people became believers, we read this in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Ever since that first baptism, God's people have obeyed Jesus and baptized new converts. Second, why be baptized? Because it is a testimony. Baptism is usually done with other people watching. Therefore, when we have baptism in a few weeks, we're going to do it as a church. Whoever wants to be baptized, we're going to go out to the beach and we're going to do it with our brothers and sisters. By being baptized, a person is making a confession of faith that you have given your life to Jesus Christ. And we're going to affirm you. And we're going to come alongside of you and we're going to say, we are now brothers and sisters in Christ. Being baptized is a testimony to yourself as well, because then you can look back your entire life and you say, I made that decision to follow Jesus. And you can live in that baptism. Number three, baptism is a way to receive the grace of God. It is called a means of grace. A means of grace is how we experience God's grace in special ways. There is a special spiritual experience for those who have been baptized. Sometimes it can be emotional. It may bring tears to our eyes. Not always, but sometimes. But it gives us a deeper insight into what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. that we might not have otherwise if we hadn't gone through that act of baptism. Baptism is a time of refreshing and renewal for the whole church. I'm looking forward to it because it's going to be exciting for the whole church. It's a time for all of us to think back on when we were baptized as well. Watching someone else be baptized helps each of us remember our own baptism and to renew our commitment to Jesus Christ. Finally, number four, what are the requirements for baptism? I only see two in the New Testament. Number one is faith. One must be a believer in Jesus Christ. In the early church, a person was baptized soon after or immediately after becoming a believer. And sometimes in some churches, they actually have a baptismal up here. That tells a lot to me about their faith, their understanding. You know, we have to go to the beach. We can plan this occasionally. But in the early church, a person was baptized right away. Now, maybe they had a more understanding of baptism. Now we have to do a little teaching on what it is because it's not part of our culture as such as it was back in early Judaism. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 was riding in the chariot with Philip. And Philip was explaining the gospel to him based on Isaiah the prophet. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, "Hey, look, there's some water over there. Let's stop and you can baptize me." And so right away, that Ethiopian eunuch, as soon as he came to understand who Jesus was baptized. Also, Saul, who became a new believer in Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 9, verses 17 to 18, was baptized immediately by Ananias in Damascus. Lydia, in the city of Philippi, Acts chapter 16, verse 15. And then the Philippian jailer, Acts chapter 16, verse 33. They were baptized right after they believed in Jesus Christ. And there's other examples as well. So, all of these examples say that when we believe, then be baptized. And let that solidify and confirm your faith. So, number one requirement, believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The second requirement, and these go together, is to repent of our sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Turn away from your sins. Repent of them, of those sins, and believe in Jesus Christ. And then be baptized.